Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting, as I've been thinking about it and praying over it and preparing for it, are the words of verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter number 6. I read that verse with you again. It says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." In the Bible, God has much to say to us about harvest time. He speaks, yes, about the physical harvest in the fields, the gathering in of the grain, the barley, the crops. He also speaks to us about harvest blessing in the work of God. And if you're with us here this morning, we looked at that great promise of harvest blessing in the work of God in Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 10, where it says, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The promise is there that those believers who are faithful in their service for the Lord will reap God's blessing. Also in His Word, God speaks to His own believing people about the harvest of spiritual fruit in their lives. Christ made that clear to His disciples in John chapter number 15 and verse 16 when He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And my God's will for your life, believer, and my life as a believer, is that we bear fruit in our lives to the glory of God. And what is to be the character of that fruit? And again, Paul tells us about that over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And he says there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And that is the fruit that God wants to see growing and developing and maturing in our lives as God's people day by day. Also, we can say further tonight in His Word, God also speaks about a harvest, a very solemn harvest, at the end of this world, at the end of this age, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory. And you read about that in the little prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 3 and the verse number 13, where it says there, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." And that pertains to the great harvest that will take place when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Now, when that harvest takes place, the seed, the wheat of God, so to speak, will be gathered into God's barn, gathered into God's heaven. But also in that harvest, the chaff, that is the unsaved, also they will be gathered, but the Bible says they'll be gathered unto eternal punishment and judgment and hell forevermore. What a harvest, what a solemn harvest. And that will be a harvest that is yet to take place. Well, in our text here tonight in Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse number 8, that the writer here to the Hebrews warns us really about the terrible harvest that will befall all those who reject the gospel. He says of such in our text in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 6, he says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Now if you read your Bible, you will see that the first person that the Bible speaks of as rejecting the gospel was Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, way back at the beginning of time in Genesis chapter number 4. And from that time, right until this present time, and indeed right until the very end of time, sadly there will be many, many who have rejected the gospel, and many who will reject the gospel, and in doing so they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their only Savior and remedy from sin. Can I say tonight that the record of those who rejected the gospel here in the apostles' day is really a warning. It's a warning note to all who are still not saved from their sin. You see, by these words here in Hebrews 6, verse 18, my God warns such of the awful harvest that they will reap if they go on in their life rejecting the gospel and turning their back upon the gospel of God. You see, in grace, God gives this warning, why? So that such might be made wise unto salvation by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save them from their sin. People, that's what I want us to think about tonight, the harvest of rejecting the gospel. Maybe I'm speaking to one in this harvest meeting, and that's you. You've one that has rejected the gospel. Even though you're sitting in this gospel meeting tonight, sitting in this harvest meeting, in your heart there's been a rejection of the gospel. And that's what I want us to think about tonight as we look at this text. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse number 8. There's three things I want you to note here about those that the apostle writes of and speaks to us of as those who have rejected the gospel. Notice first of all with me that their privileges. Verse 8 says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. By this verse here, it speaks of those, yes, who have rejected the gospel in the day of the apostle, as this letter was written to the Hebrews. And I want you to see that in the surrounding verses, the apostle tells us how such had known tremendous privileges from God in their life. And you read in particular of those privileges in verses 4 and verses 5 of the chapter. If you look at verse number 4, you'll see there that it says that such were once enlightened, it says. And this means that they had a certain degree of religious knowledge, a certain degree of spiritual knowledge and understanding. And many ways they were like Balaam of old that you read about in the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Bible says he was a man whose eyes were open. He had a certain degree of spiritual knowledge and understanding and enlightenment. And that is how it is with these that the apostle describes as rejecting the gospel. Notice something else there from verse 4 of the chapter. He says that such were told have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. My, here were a people and they had known the striving of God, the Holy Ghost, in their heart and in their soul. Here were the people and they had known what it was to be convicted by God, the Holy Ghost, in their heart and in their life. The Bible speaks to you and I about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that He will reprove the world of sin. That's His work, to convict of sin, to reprove of sin. And by this people of whom the apostle writes and speaks to you and I of, they were a people who had been convicted of their sin. They had known the movings of the Holy Ghost in their heart and soul about their sin. See something else here about their privileges in verse number 5. It says that such were told have tasted, it says, the good word of God. And my, here were a people and they were no strangers to the word of God. They were no strangers to the truth of God's precious and holy and eternal and infallible word. In His word, what does God do? He calls sinners to repentance. In the book of the Acts of the Apostle, it says there in chapter 17, verse 30, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you read there of God calling sinners to repent of their sin, to turn from their sin, to turn their back upon their sins. Also in His word, God, in His love and mercy, He continually calls sinners in love to turn to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to trust Him as Savior, to trust Him for salvation.
You think of those tremendous words, indeed the gospel in a nutshell in John chapter 3 verse 16. Where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting." Here were a people, and we're told here they tasted this good word, they'd heard this good word. They were not strangers to the Bible. They were not strangers to the truth of God and the gospel. How privileged they were. You notice something else again here from verse number 5. We're told that such, we're told, have tasted, it says, the powers of the world to come. What does that mean? My, here were a people, and they knew that they were going to die. Here were a people, and they knew that they were not here on this earth forever. They knew that after death there was God's eternity and either heaven or hell. Here were a people who were aware of the great truth that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. We're told there in verse number 5 that they tasted the powers of the world to come. There was a concern in their heart about the world to come, about eternity. What lies beyond the grave? What lies after this scene of time, after this world? Oh, what privileges these people enjoyed. And you know, when you think about them and you look at them there in the chapter, they were all a sign, they were all a token of the tremendous mercy of God toward them, the tremendous goodness and kindness and love of God toward them. That's what these privileges were a sign of. They were a token of God's gracious dealings and merciful kindness and love toward these particular people of whom the apostle writes and speaks to us often in our text tonight here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8. You know, dear people in this meeting tonight, whenever we think here of this people that are mentioned in our Bible reading and their privileges, I wonder, are there privileges that we've just mentioned? I wonder, are these a mirror? Are these, if you like, a reflection, a picture of one in this gospel meeting here tonight, Cumber Free Presbyterian Church? As we have sought to outline the privileges that these people have known, enjoyed, and have been partakers of in this scene of time, we sought to bring them to your mind, to your heart, and to your attention. I wonder, is this a picture of you in this gospel service this evening? Yes, you too have a knowledge of God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Yes, you too, in this meeting, you know that you are a sinner before a holy God. You know, yes, that you have a soul, an eternal soul to be saved. Is it the case that you too have felt the convicting power, the stirring power of God the Holy Ghost in your heart and life and soul from time to time and indeed from week to week as you've heard the word of God from this pulpit sounded forth? My, you have often heard the gospel. Is that the case? You can look back over your life tonight, maybe for many years, maybe from your earliest of days. You have known the gospel. You have heard the gospel. That message that calls you personally for you to repent of your sin before the Almighty God and for you personally to put your faith and trust in Christ and in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. You're no stranger to this message, no. My, is it the case like those of whom we have been describing and talking about tonight in this passage, is it the case that you too, you know, yes, that you are not here forever? You know too that you're not going to live forever upon this scene of time. Yes, you too know in your heart of hearts that there is eternity awaiting you after this life, after this world. You know, yes, that you there is for you a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. This is not strange to your heart. This is not something new to your soul. Friend, I want to say to you tonight, to have such knowledge, to have such
privileges is a tremendous blessing. It's really a sign of God's graciousness toward you, His love toward you, His mercy toward you, His kindness toward you, to have such privileges. But let me say tonight, and please understand in your heart and in your soul, that such privileges, and they are tremendous privileges, these privileges cannot save you. They cannot make you right with God. They cannot fit you for heaven. They cannot save you from the wrath to come. To have known and to have tasted of these privileges, turn with me in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I want you to see here what the Apostle Paul says in verse 26. And here he is pinpointing this very truth, that privilege does not save. No matter how good those privileges are, and how religious and spiritual those privileges may be. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many," notice it, "wise men after the flesh," not many mighty, not many noble men are called. What's Paul saying to you and I through those words? In other words, that it is not privilege that saves. It is not privilege that makes you and I meet for heaven and right with God and to have a right relationship with God. You think tonight of Nicodemus, you read about him in John chapter 3, a religious man, an upright man, a moral man, a devout man, a man of great knowledge and intellect and understanding of his day and mine. If any man could have been saved by privileges, spiritual and religious privileges, it would have been this man, Nicodemus. But he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, and on three occasions, the Lord made it clear to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Friend, please see tonight, understand in your heart, that all the privileges that you have had and enjoyed from the earliest of your days, tremendous privileges, we do not discount them for one moment. But those privileges and blessings that you have enjoyed in the gospel, hearing the gospel, knowing the gospel, hearing the word of God, knowing about Christ, knowing about your soul, about eternity. Oh, these privileges, they cannot save you. Yes, we see the privileges of those that are mentioned in our text. Notice not only their privileges, but notice secondly the marks of these people of whom the apostle writes and tells us about, who had rejected the gospel. Verse 8 again, he says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." And here the apostle tells us of those who had rejected the gospel, those who were unsaved in his day. And I want you to see that there were certain marks that characterized, that marked this particular people. What were some of those marks? Well, such, they rejected Christ as their only Savior from sin. And you see this somewhat is said about them there in the latter part of verse number 6 of the chapter, which says, "Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him," it says, "to an open shame." What do those words mean in light of these people of whom the apostle is telling us about in verse number 8 of the chapter? These words really tell how here were a people and they approved of the rejection of Christ and of Christ being put to death. The apostle here is really telling us here were a people and they saw no beauty in Christ. They saw no glory to Christ. In fact, they would have put him to death again if it was within their own power to do so. John speaks to you and I and highlights that very same rejection of Christ in John 1 verse 11, when he says of Christ, "He came unto his own and his own received him not." Again, the prophet Isaiah speaks of that very same rejection of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 2 and 3 of the chapter,
where he says of Christ, he have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. The people of whom the apostle writes about in our text tonight in verse 8 were a people who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. Also, it's important to note here that despite all their privileges, these people of whom the apostle speaks of, they brought forth no fruit of repentance, no fruit of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the fruit of repentance toward God and the fruit of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was absent from their life. Despite all their privileges, it was not to be found in their heart and life and soul. And you really see this from the beginning of verse 8, our text tonight, where they are likened unto, notice it there, that which beareth thorns or briars. And the picture here is of thorns and briars that are worthless. Thorns and briars that really bring forth no fruit whatsoever. And this is what the apostle here is showing us and telling us. Here were a people and they did not have real spiritual fruit that was pleasing and acceptable to God. Despite their privileges, despite the blessings and mercies of God that they tasted and known and received, they never repented of their sin. They never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Something else here to note about them as well. Also, such we see were near to being saved, but then they turned away from Christ. And you see that from verse number 6 of the chapter, which says, they shall fall away. In other words, with the great privileges they had, this people, yes, they were near to being saved, near to being converted. But then they fell away, just like the morning dew. In many ways, they were like the rich young ruler who came to Christ, that young man who came to the Lord with such promise and might have said of him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He was very near the kingdom of God. But then we're told that he went away sorrowing from Christ. These people here were a bit like the seed that Christ speaks to you and I of in the parable of the sower. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, that seed that was scattered and sown upon stony ground that endured, yes, for a little while, and then it fell away. He says in verse 20 of Matthew 13, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that there heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here were a people, yes, they were near to being saved, but they were not near enough. They turned away from the Lord. Dear friend, at our meeting tonight, let me ask, are the marks of this people, of whom the apostle writes and speaks of in our text tonight, those who had rejected the gospel in the day of the apostle Paul, are they a picture of you in our meeting tonight? Despite all the gospel privileges that you have enjoyed, you still reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You will not heed God's warnings about your sin. As you sit in this meeting, there is no repentance from sin in your life. There is no saving faith in your heart and soul toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, maybe there's been times in your life when you have been greatly troubled about your sin. Times, yes, when you have been very near to being saved, near to getting right with God. Yet still you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Yet still you have not trusted Him. You have not accepted Him. My, in many ways you're like those that the Savior Himself addressed in the Gospel of John when He says, and ye will not come to me. that you might have life. Is that you in the meeting tonight? As the Lord speaks to you, does he say to your heart and soul, and ye will not come to me, ye have not come to me, says Christ, that you might have life? And I must warn you that if you continue in this path, there are solemn consequences, very, very solemn consequences. God warns you of those consequences in his word. You continue in that pathway, yes, God may cease to speak to your heart. And it's a solemn thing, it's an awful thing for God to speak and then God to stop speaking. And that can happen because God says in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And what will happen in your heart if God stops speaking? I'll tell you what will happen. Your heart will harden in sin. Hardening against God, your maker, your creator. Turn back a little bit just from our Bible reading tonight, just to the previous chapter, to Hebrews chapter 3. Look at what is said there in verse 7 and verse number 8. It says, today if you will hear his voice, notice it, harden not your heart. What's the consequence of you turning away from the voice of God? I tell you, it's this. Your heart will harden. Your heart will grow cold. Your heart will become as an adamant stone before God. What's the end then of God not speaking? What's the end of your heart hardening against God? I'll tell you what the end is. The Bible tells us. Your heart will be overcome with unbelief. And there'll be a turning away from the Lord. Look at what is said there in Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse number 12. Notice the warning that is given. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. I tell you tonight, do not trifle with God. Do not trifle with God's Son. Do not trifle with the gospel. What an awful thing if God should stop speaking to one in this meeting. What an awful thing if God should allow your heart to harden in your sin. What an awful thing it would be if God would leave you to your sin and to your unbelief. It's the marks of these people, the privileges of these people. Notice something else just in connection with our text. Notice the end. This is really the heart of our message tonight. The end, the harvest. Those who reject the gospel. Look at what our text says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 8. It says, but that which beareth thorns and briars, notice it, is rejected, is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. By this picture of thorns and briars, my being discarded, being cursed, being burned in the fire. What's the apostle showing us here? He's showing us here the awful end, the awful harvest that befalls those who deliberately and willfully turn their back upon the gospel and upon God's offer of salvation through his eternal Son and his sacrifice upon the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, the end of such is to be rejected of God. The end of such is to be under the curse of God. The end of such is to suffer eternal burnings in a lost eternity in hell, the lake of fire. That is the awful harvest of rejecting the gospel. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, such shall have their part in the lake of fire. You look at what is said at the beginning of verse 4 and verse 6 of this chapter. It says, it is impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, there is no hope of salvation for those who reject the gospel, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Savior from sin. There's no hope. The Bible asks the solemn question, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? My, when Christ returns, such will be cut off or told in the fires of hell forevermore. You read of the return of Christ in the book of 2 Thessalonians. chapter 1 and the verse number 8, and it speaks of Christ's return. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What an end. Unsaved man, unsaved woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, let me say this. This is what awaits you. This is what will befall you. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you die in your sin, you leave this world unsaved, unconverted, without Christ as your Savior. There's an awful end that awaits you. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I ask you tonight, what are you living for in this world? What are you sowing in this world? Are you sowing unto Christ? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you redeemed by the blood of Christ? Or as you sit in this meeting, are you like those that the apostle writes of and describes of in our text in this passage, whose end is to be burned, who is under the curse of God, whose end is to be rejected of God because they've turned their back upon the gospel? Notice just one final thing in closing here very briefly. Look at the verse before our text, verse number 7. And there the picture is given of another harvest. Look at what it says. It says, but the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. And what's the picture here that the apostle is conveying and showing to us here? It's the picture of those that have received the gospel, who've heeded the gospel, who've repented of their sin, who've trusted in Christ for salvation. It says there at the end of verse number 7, they shall receive blessing from God. The blessing of God's eternal salvation. What does that mean? Means to have all your sins forgiven by the blood of Christ. It means for you to have peace with God, your Maker, through faith in Christ. It means for you to have power to live for God, to live for Christ here on earth. It means for you to know fellowship with God here on earth, the presence of God with you in your life day by day. And it means for you to be sure of eternal life, everlasting glory in heaven. Did not Christ promise to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who trusts him as Savior, who rests upon his finished work for salvation and the blood of the cross? He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. By these blessings, these are the harvest of salvation for all who heed the gospel, all who receive the gospel, and all who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You're not saved today. Don't turn away from the gospel. Don't turn your back upon Christ. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's rest for your heart and soul in Christ and in another. Oh, seek him tonight. Call upon him. Lift up your heart in prayer to God like one of old and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Praise God, the Lord will hear that cry. The Lord will save your soul. He'll deliver you from your sin. He'll pardon your sins. He'll take you one day to heaven and to glory. May God bless his word tonight to every heart and soul for Jesus' sake. Amen.